Thank you, Mark. You're pretty funny this morning. I sometimes say to the guys, just because you think you're funny doesn't necessarily mean you are, but you're pretty funny. Well done. Do you ever feel like you're not really present all the time? How many people think they're not really here today? Daphne, you're not really here? I feel a bit like that sometimes. I feel like my mind is not... there's someplace else. Do you ever experience it, you know, when you're driving along in the car and then all of a sudden you realize that I cannot remember the last 10 kilometers that I've driven? Have you ever had that experience? It's a little bit scary, so I'm glad you all agreed with me. It wasn't just me experiencing that. I think I've told this story before, but when I moved from my previous house, I'd been living there for about 22 years, and I moved to my new house, which I've been living in for about 4 years. I don't know how long you can keep using the word new house, but anyway, been there for 4 years. But I've been there for about 18 months when this happened to me. I was driving home from work. My mind was somewhere else. I pulled into my driveway, and I pressed my garage door remote. Nothing happened. The door didn't go up. And I thought, oh, pressed it again. Still nothing happened. Looked at the remote. I said, surely battery's 18 months. Surely it'll last longer than that. On the third pressing of my door remote, I suddenly realized that I was in the driveway of my old house that I had not lived in for 18 months. It's like, oh my goodness. I quickly looked around. Fortunately, there was no one there. I backed out and headed home. I couldn't believe that. For 18 months, I had gone in a new direction to my new house, but for some reason, I went back into default, and there I arrived at my old house. I sometimes feel like I live life like that, especially my spiritual life, not aware of what is happening around me. Now, I don't mean that I walk around with my head in a cloud, but I'm just not always aware of where God is or his presence with me. I'm just not paying attention. Why is it such a struggle to pay attention to God, to feel his presence with me all the time? Do you ever feel like he's not always there? Like maybe when you look for him, maybe he's off doing something else. Why is it so hard to feel him with you all the time? Maybe it's because he turned up, but I was not paying attention. Whatever the reason, something is obviously wrong here. I mean, does God come and go? Is he only present some of the time? How come there are times when I can't feel his presence at all? Have you ever felt this way? Well, I've come to the conclusion that it's one of two things. It's either him or it's me. So which one is it? So is it God? If I look at God, the Bible tells me that God is omnipresent. Omnipresence means all present. And this term means that God is capable of being everywhere all at the same time. He is everywhere. So if that is correct, that means that there isn't anywhere that I can go or be where he is not already there. David confirms this in Psalm 139, and we read in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." In Matthew 28, Jesus himself promises, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." In fact, his name Emmanuel means God with us. And Paul states in Romans 8, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. He is present everywhere. So, if this is true and I operate from that premise, why is it that we don't always feel God's presence? Why is it that sometimes I can have moments where I am fully aware of God and others where it seems like he is not there? If it's not God, well, it must be me. James Bryan Smith says, "Whether or not we feel or experience God's presence with us is not determined by God, but by us." Therein lies the issue. It's not that God is not there, but somehow we are not aware of where he is and how to experience his presence. So if the problem is with us, can we change that? Can we actually live lives that have an awareness of God with us? Wouldn't you like to experience God's presence with you so that it's just part of your everyday? And what difference would that make to our lives if we could experience God on a daily basis and experience him more fully? Could we learn to be present to the God who is already present with us? I think we can, and God actually helps us with that. Today I want to look at three encounters in the Bible of people who had an experience of God's presence. And I want to look at how we can apply that and help us in our experience of God. The first encounter is found in Genesis 28, and it's with Jacob. And it starts in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you were lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." God was reaffirming to Jacob the promise that he had made to Abraham. Jacob was having an encounter with God, and he exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." So the first thing that we can do to practice God's presence and that we can learn from this is to cultivate awareness. Cultivate awareness. Jacob realized that God had been there all the time and he had missed it. It's the same for us. It's not that God is not present, but that we are not aware of it. I recognize that we live much of our lives unaware of God's presence. I believe we can and ought to increase our awareness. I have become aware that I am not very aware. I went on a holiday a number of years ago with the Leadbetters, and they may tell this story differently, but I went on a holiday with the Leadbetters to New Zealand, and we've been out viewing the penguins. We had a great time. We saw all the penguins over the beach, and we were headed home. So I was in the car with my kids, and for those who know me, I am notorious for getting lost. And this is the time before GPS on phone, so I was quite intent on arriving back at the appropriate accommodation. So once we got back, Kathy got there, "Oh, did you see all those penguins in the car park?" And I went, "No, I didn't see them. Fortunately, I didn't drive over any, but I totally missed them. My attention was somewhere else. And it wasn't that it was wrong, but it just meant that I missed out on something better. I think we can all dial up our awareness. It's about being aware of God in the ordinary, everyday moments of life. It's not necessarily about removing yourself from society and living on a deserted island far away from noise and people, although that sounds very attractive, but it's learning how to be present to the God who is already present with us. A couple of ways that I've found that we can practice this awareness is firstly, to notice God through prayer. Ronald Rollhauser states, "We don't pray to make God present. God is already present, always present everywhere. We pray to make ourselves more present to God." So instead of starting the day with a list of requests to God, how about starting the day with breathing a prayer of, "Lord, help me to make myself more present to you today. Help me to notice where you are." It's the prayer where you focus your lens on God and focus on noticing him throughout your day. Once you start to notice, you will become more aware of where he is already present and working in your life. Oftentimes we notice things better in reflection by looking backwards. And at the end of your day, it's a really good practice to look back over your day and notice where God was. Was there a situation that just worked out? A workmate that gave you a compliment just when you needed it? A surprising phone call that encouraged you just when you needed it? An answer to prayer that your heart had been longing for? Where was God in my day? It's a great practice to take time at the beginning and the end of your day to notice and pay attention and dial up your awareness of where God is and to say a prayer of thanks that he was there. So notice God through prayer. Another practice is to notice God through beauty. Have you ever noticed that there is beauty all around us? Children are great noticers of beauty. They often stop and pick up a bug or a stick or a leaf or a flower. They will notice the butterfly or the bird or the clouds. What happens when we grow up? It's not that those things aren't there anymore, but that we don't notice them. So what stops us? Hurry. Children are rarely in a hurry, much to their parents' aggravation. But that is why they notice things. They get distracted by beauty. My prayer is that I would do the same. Lord, let me be distracted by beauty today. I try to purposely notice beauty as I walk, as I meet with people, as I look around me. It doesn't take a lot of time to notice a beautiful sunset, a rainbow, a smile. It's more about a mindset. But what does this have to do with noticing God? Well, God is in the beauty. He is the creator of it. So when I notice beauty, I notice God. So what does that do for my soul? It's like breath for my soul. It brings life and it brings a growing awareness of God. He is present all around me. It helps me to be present to the God who is already present with us. So cultivate awareness. Notice God through prayer and beauty. The second encounter today is with Samuel, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to tell Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So the second thing to do is to cultivate attentiveness. This is about paying attention, about discerning. It's learning to distinguish God's voice from your own. It's learning to attune your ear to God. The word attune means to make receptive or aware. Now, every year we get the piano tuned here at White Hill. And I don't know if you've ever heard a piano being tuned, but it's not a particularly pleasant experience. In fact, we try to do it when there's no one in the building, if we can, and we warn everyone that it's happening so they can arrange their workday around it. Because the piano tuner, when he tunes the piano, he plays the same note over and over again, and there's 88 of them on the keyboard. He plays it out of tune, and he slowly brings it back into tune so that you go, when he finally arrives at the right note, and then he goes on to the next one. So it takes over an hour to tune a piano. It takes a skilled ear to hear if something is in tune. And piano tuners are skilled at tuning pianos because they have attuned their ears to the notes, to a perfect pitch and what it should sound like. When we want to hear God's voice, we have to attune our ear to God's voice. So what does God sound like? How can I hear him? I think firstly, it's the prayer that Samuel prayed. "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's intentionally tuning myself into his voice. These days, we are so blessed to have God's voice in print. His words, the words of in the Bible. But even if we read the Bible, we don't always hear his voice because we are not listening for it. We need to read it in order to listen to his voice. So this is also about noticing. It's about noticing God in his word. So how do we do this? We can approach reading the Bible with many different intents. We can read with the intent of studying it, of finding out how it all fits together, what the culture was like, information about the times it was written. We might read it to tick off our list of things of the day. We may read it for comfort or if we're afraid. None of these are particularly wrong. However, if that is our only approach to reading God's word, it may hinder us from actually noticing God. Another way to read God's word is for relationship. To do this, we read God's word, but we read it slowly and we look intentionally for God. For example, perhaps we are reading a story of Jesus. We may notice how Jesus treats the people he is with. What does he say? How does he say it? How would I feel if I was the one with him? What if I was the woman at the well? Or the bent over woman, or the prodigal son? What do I notice about how he is looking at me? Is he gazing at me or is he glaring at me? How is he treating me? What is he saying to me? The more we do this intentionally, the more we notice God in the words of Scripture. The more we get to know God, the more we recognize who God is, what his voice sounds like. His voice never goes against Scripture. So as you open God's word, perhaps the prayer is, "Lord, help me to get to know you, to notice you in your word. Be real to me today." God's word helps us to be present to the God who is always already present with us. So firstly, cultivate awareness, noticing God through prayer
and through beauty. Secondly, cultivate attentiveness, noticing God through his word. And the third encounter I want to share with you today is with Elijah and God, and it's found in 1 Kings 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Our third practice is to cultivate quiet. God is not always in the loud, dramatic, extreme experiences. He is more often in that gentle whisper. You can only hear a whisper when you are quiet yourself and when you are in a quiet place. Our society is the opposite of that. It is built on noise and hurry and crowds, which make it very difficult to hear or notice God. We need to cultivate quiet through three important ingredients: silence, stillness, and solitude. These are three ingredients necessary to feeling and recognizing God's presence and hearing his voice. I used to think that this could only be achieved in a certain way. Maybe if I separated myself from society, or maybe once the kids had left home, or maybe once work was not so busy, or maybe once I'm retired and have absolutely nothing to do, right? I don't think so. I'm learning that cultivating quiet has less to do with stage of life than it has with state of mind and heart. You don't have to necessarily have no one in your life to cultivate quiet. Even if you lead a full, loud, busy life filled with kids and schedules and routines, we can learn to harness the moments of quiet that we all have. This doesn't depend on your calendar, it depends on your heart. So we can practice God's presence by firstly noticing quiet opportunities. Cultivating quiet starts firstly with noticing when these moments occur. Maybe it's the moments before the house wakes up, or when the kids get out of the car when you drop them at school, or those moments before your workmates arrive at the office, or maybe it's when you're waiting in the car for soccer practice to finish. We all have those moments. They already exist in our lives. Whenever it is, all we have to do is to change our lens. Notice the quiet spaces that already exist in your day and then embrace the quiet for being present to God. It can be as simple as noticing that I have a 10-minute car ride without anyone else in the car. So take the opportunity to turn off the radio and have a sacred time, a time of silence where God's presence can be noticed and his voice can be heard. Maybe it's turning your phone off for 30 minutes as you go for a morning walk. Maybe it's taking your work break outside among nature so you can sit there instead of listening to the chatter of your work colleagues or the phones ringing. Emily P. Freeman says that once you begin to notice the opportunities for quiet in your day and choose to embrace them, you may discover all the ways that silence can become for you a sanctuary in any ordinary place. It will become a place where we can be present to the God who is already present with us. Now, for some of us, we struggle to believe that God is with us. It feels that God is not around, that he's just not interested in your life or can't be bothered. For you, life is dark and you've lost sight of where God is. You need to remind yourself of this truth today, that there is nowhere that I can be where God is not. He is, I am, He is present. He is with you. He is beside you. He is before you. He is behind you. He surrounds you. He is not elsewhere. He knows what is going on. He is with you in it. You need to be reminded of that today. He surrounds you on all sides. He is a good father, and he does not abandon his children. You realize that you need to dial up your awareness of God's presence in your life. So this week for you, you need to start your day with a different lens. Instead of looking at all the things that are wrong, start with the lens of looking for God. One that is being aware of where God is in your day and your life. Start with the prayer of, Lord, let me be aware of your presence. And then at the end of the day, look back and notice where he has been. It's also a great idea to live this out in community. So tell someone else that you can journey along through in this season with you. For some of us, we need to cultivate attentiveness, to pay attention to where God is and what he's up to in your life and the lives of those around you. God is always at work. He is never not working. He is at work in your life, and he is at work in those who are in your life. You need to start tuning in to what he is up to. You need to notice him in his word. So this week, instead of reading God's word to tick off a list or to gain knowledge, spend some time in God's word to get to know God. Just reading slowly and asking him to reveal himself to you and to help you see who he is and what he's like and what he wants to tell you. For some of you, you are in the busy season, maybe with work or family or with both. Making space for God seems like an impossibility. The challenge for you this week is to start cultivating quiet. You need to start noticing and embracing the little moments of quiet that are already present in your day and use them as a way to be present to God. Gather the little pockets of time and create a sacred space where you and God connect. Your car might be a great cathedral this week. My prayer for you is that this week you can change your lens, you can attune your ear, and you can embrace your quiet moments where you can be present to the God who is already present with you, and that this changes your moments, your day, your life. Let's pray together as the band comes up. Lord, you are the great I am. You are present with us. There is nowhere that we can go that is out of your scope or out of your care. Lord, help us to become more aware that you are with us. Help us to pay attention to where you are at work in our life and in those around us. Help us to use the quiet moments in our day to refocus ourselves on you. Lord, work in our lives and remind us that you are there, that we are your sons and daughters, and you will not abandon us. Lord, may today be the start of a fresh journey with you, not one where we get in the way of what you are doing, but one where we notice what you are doing and partner with you in it. Lord, may we be present to you today as you are with us. Amen.